Welcome to Career Tools. This week, email security, something you probably thought you knew everything about. Here we go. Folks, we say all the time on Career Tools that careers are all about results and relationships. The best thing we know to help you with your relationships is a DISC profile, followed by some portion, if not all, of our effective relationship series. Come to the website, find out about it. 15 to 20 pages worth of show notes for each of the casts. Probably worth it for you. So Wendy, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who think they know everything they need to know about email security. They certainly can get bombarded with enough information about it.
Yeah, I know a lot of our listeners work in IT and behind the scenes and probably know this. But for some people, it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, I also would argue that some of the people in IT know a lot about it, but don't necessarily practice it simply because we get attached to our technology, right?
Yeah, we do. It's our phone and our laptop. We were in a hotel room recently and I was asking Mike something and he said, well, give me your laptop and I'll show you. And I had this moment, this frisson of, no, you can't touch my laptop. And it's like, it's stupid. It's the company's laptop.
Yeah, that would be my laptop.
He paid for it. Like, yeah. You know, there was no reason. And I have nothing to hide. There's nothing on there. But there's something about our technology that we
anthropomorphize.
That's the word. And it becomes ours. And therefore, we think that it's in our sphere of influence. It's within the egg of our security. And we forget that it's connected to the company
yeah.
to the wider world.
And it can lead you to behave in ways which aren't wise. Simple as that. Okay, so what are we going to talk about?
So we've got three don'ts for you. Don't act as if your email is private, because it's not.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Don't delete emails in order to hide things.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And don't add personal email to company technology, because then it's not private either.
Well, this is pretty basic, but I suspect there are some people who have forgotten this and have just gotten used to, as you say, their technology. So you say email isn't private. It's not.
It's not. If you assume that your email is always being read, then you're in the right mindset. Like, just like you assume that anything you say to your manager could be passed on, like they might tell HR.
And may very well have to be.
Yes. They could tell HR, they could tell their manager, they could tell anybody they want. And sometimes you think that's a good thing when it's good stuff about you. And sometimes you think it's a bad thing when it's negative stuff about you. And so it depends what the stuff is, how you feel about that in most cases. And that goes for every behavior that you have in the workplace and out of the workplace. If you've got a laptop or a phone and you're not actually in the building, everything you do is watched and judged. And all of the calls, all of the emails, all of the documents, they can all be recorded and kept and held for you or against you.
Not only can they are. It's,
yes.
If you work at a public company, there are obligations regarding that. And sadly, there are some people today who think, I don't want that level of intrusiveness into my life. And so therefore, I'll start my own company with the idea that you maintain some privacy. And yet, that privacy can easily be lost if you do something that you believe that privacy protects. Because if you're engaged in work with an external entity and there's a lawsuit, your email can be subpoenaed. And you might think, well, of course, I can delete it. That's true. And then if you don't delete it until after you get the subpoena, at least the United States, I know there are different rules elsewhere in the world. The rules tend to be more strict in first world countries. But if you delete it after the subpoena, you've just committed a federal crime. And I think it's a function of it's easier for people to think of it as theirs, and it adds to their sense of control and power. But the fact is, if you work for somebody else, it's not.
And in the same way that all of the machines in the factory are watched and checked regularly and have to perform within a specification, to some extent, like most people treat other people in a business as people, but to some extent, you're still a resource within the company. And they have to make sure that you're working to their best advantage, that you're not breaking laws, that you're not harassing anybody else, that you're not sending bribes to customers and all of those things.
This is just like the idea of having an assistant where you authorize the assistant to do some things for you. And then the manager who does so says, well, I didn't know he or she was doing that, the thing that got them in trouble when they were, when the assistant was doing something on behalf of the manager. It doesn't matter. It has to do with your control and the difference between control and responsibility and authority. And if you do something that puts the company at risk, then you've done it and the company's at risk and the company's smart to take some reasonable precautions. Now, unfortunately, for many of us, it puts us all in harm's way relative to the fact that all of our email might be looked at. And unfortunately, every single person within the company who's granted free will puts the company at risk. And yes, there are benefits, and the company doesn't want to read your email, doesn't inherently want to go look at your email, but that doesn't mean it isn't obligated to record it, and it doesn't mean it wouldn't look at it if, in fact, it felt that it was in its best interest to do so. In the same way that if you think it's in your best interest to use company email to do something personal, then there are risks associated with that. That's as simple as that, yeah. And it's even worse for managers, because when you do something as a manager, you speak as a representative of the company. I'll never forget talking to a friend of mine on Wall Street who said one of his friends was involved in a lawsuit. And his friend said, I never dreamed that my emails would be subpoenaed because I wasn't the target. But when a company does something that's regrettable, it's not just the one person's emails. It's every single person who they corresponded with and all of their emails. All you have to do is pass along something that you're doing innocently. But if, in fact, the intent was innocent but the outcome was not, the laws put you in a gray area. And it's too bad. And managers are even worse off, of course, because they are literally the titular representative of the company. And they have the ability to command other people to do the company's bidding. As horrible as that sounds, I don't mean to make that sound so terrible.
I used to sit through the security briefing every week.
Oh, you had to,
on a
right?
Monday. I had to, because I was with the inductees. The people that were starting that day had to have a security briefing, and I had to be in the room to make sure they'd had it and they didn't leave, and just to make sure they were there. And the guy used to tell us, there's all sorts of things about security, but including, you know, be careful with your emails and don't let, if you lose your laptop, you must tell us immediately so that we can lock the laptop down. And I used to sit there and go, yeah, you're just overblowing this to make yourself sound important. And I had this completely, you know, cynical point of view. And I'd been there about 4 months when there was a guy who actually worked two floors down from me who was caught attempting to sell secrets in a pub in London. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should really pay attention to the security briefing. But you might think that nothing you're doing exposes the company, but there's all sorts of stuff going on. When I looked it up, they reckon that the theft of trade secrets and critical technologies costs the US upwards of $250 billion a year.
A quarter of a trillion.
Yeah, and 90% of the people that are prosecuted are employees.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. This is one of those things that is about a relationship, and in this case, it's between you and your company, folks. It would be silly for the company not to monitor your email. In the same way that it would be in absolutely in the, yes, as fiduciarily responsible for assessing risks and so on of the organization, because the organization comprises individual actors with free will, you and I. In the same way that it would be negligent for the company not to record your emails, it would be negligent of you to expose the company to risk by using the emails, a company system, to propagate something that would be illegal or illicit or unethical or simply untoward. Mm-hmm. We're not suggesting you would do it. And we're not suggesting in a perfect world the company wants to do it. But in the real world of human frailty, it does happen. And the reasonable response of companies is to make sure they can look at everybody's email. Look, the good example of this is BYOD. If you don't know what BYOD is, then you're probably not in the technology world, and you're probably not exceptionally attached to your phone. And it's called bring your own device. When the iPhone was invented, however many years ago it was invented, we're recording this in 2014, so I think it's been 5 or 6, 5 or 6 years now. Up until then, blackberries were known as crackberries because everybody was addicted to them like crack. And they were company devices. You were issued one along with a laptop. They often had stickers on the back that people would try to pull off, and they weren't theirs. And with the profusion of mobile phones, and that's really been only in the last 10 years. Now, if you're over 30 or if you're over 40, then you remember early in your career what it was like when nobody had those devices. If you're younger than 30, you don't think anything about the fact that, well, devices are ubiquitous and why would we not want devices? Everybody agrees with you that we want those devices. That said, in the beginning, if you're somewhat younger, if you're 30 in 2014, you may not remember that there was a healthy debate about whether or not companies should support non-company provided devices. And what's funny about that is that people say, well, it's my phone and, you know, I want to use my phone. I don't want to have a second phone. And yet nobody seems to balk at the idea of the company giving them a laptop. And of course, what I told somebody recently, Wendy, I was in New York, and I said, the reason for that is at the time, people could afford their own phones and there was personal utility, but up until then, companies were the only ones that could afford the kind of laptops people wanted. Now the price curve has changed and things have come down, but BYOD, folks, is bring your own device, which is a fairly new concept. If you are a young person, you're thinking, oh, BYOD, everybody does it. Folks, 5 years ago, that phrase didn't exist.
Yeah. I left the workforce 5 years ago, and there was no such thing.
It's no such thing. And of course, you know, we try to avoid doing casts that are timely rather than timeless. And so somebody's going to be listening to this cast in 2034 and laugh and go, BYOD, what is D? They're all under my skin. Why would I've got Simplot. The point of it, what I'm saying is, everybody wanted BYOD. And then they discovered that the company said, okay, you can bring your own device, but you've got to sign this contract, and we're going to put some software on there. And people said, sure, that's great. I only have to have one phone. Maybe you guys will help me with my phone bill, whatever. The company said, no problem. And then when people left, were fired or quit, the chip turned off the phone. Mm-hmm. And as sad as the moment in Margin Call is, when Stanley Tucci is fired and his phone is turned off by the time he gets to the street, and of course, it's a company phone, there's a case to be made that a company has an obligation to do that. It's not an exciting thing to talk about. It doesn't make everybody feel all warm and fuzzy, except perhaps the IT security people. But it's real. And you should assume that your phone is to some degree tapped. That sounds terrible. And your email, certainly, if you get company email on your phone through some sort of email provision, they're looking at it. Now, they may not actually be looking at it, but if you behave as if no one is looking at it and you put yourself and other people at risk, it immediately causes the company to say, we need to be able to monitor this, or if nothing else, be able to produce it in the event you're a bad actor. And yes, that's a terrible thing for those of us who are honest people, but that's why there are laws in the world. Okay, sorry, we could beat a dead horse about that. but just to say it again, guys, your email is not private, and at times someone else will read it. And if you do something that you don't mean to do, which implicates you, it doesn't matter. Your email could very well be in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Next thing is, and this goes to the point we just made about how the company monitors it and archives it, don't think that you can delete email, right?
Yeah, you can just delete it and nobody will be able to find it again.
Right.
And you see in the movies when, you know, I watched a movie the other day and the guy had been doing a Ponzi scheme. And so the accountant comes to work and he didn't know anything about it. And the whole floor, everybody is shredding things and they're pulling out boxes and shredding them. And, you know, as if that was going to stop anybody finding the evidence.
Of course, nowadays, every corporate espionage or thriller involves a thumb drive.
Yes, exactly.
While people are busy shredding documents. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, shredding things doesn't work. Deleting your email doesn't work. The company emails are kept on servers that you can't get to unless you're the guy in IT who has access to the servers. But even then, there's always someone more. There's always another level of security. Hard drives can be recovered even after you've deleted it. You can take a magnet to it and people can get stuff off it.
Yep.
And if the company really believes that you've been acting against their interests, or if you've done something illegal and the financial watchdog or the security services or the police services are looking at what you've been doing, they can go to extreme lengths to get the evidence against you, and they'll want to.
All there needs to be is one person calling someone else and saying, Blue Horseshoe loves Anacott Steel, which of course is a famous line from the movie Wall Street, the original Wall Street movie. Yeah, and folks, what's interesting about this is there's a simpler solution than thinking about deleting an email later because it might be illegal. Just be an ethical person. Don't put anything in writing that you might regret. Don't flame somebody. I often avoid places on the internet where you can have anonymity, because I don't care for the discourse. On our forums at Manager Tools, where people come and ask career questions and management questions, we do allow anonymity, but we have very strict policies. And I've been known fairly routinely to say, be good or be gone. If you can't behave nicely, you're not going to be here anymore, period. The standard is, all I have to do is not like it, and we're done. Simply because then everyone knows they can come there, and it's going to be a safe, ethical, professional place. By the same token, if you apply the standard of all of my emails are being seen, not because I might be doing something illegal, but because I hold myself to a higher standard, you're going to be fine.
It's not just about industrial espionage, although that's the kind of sexy, exciting bit. I'm in a Bourne movie. But they could, the company could be looking at your email because of a discrimination case, a harassment case, a bullying case, or even poor performance of somebody else. They think that that person hasn't been, even if you think it's okay that that person reacts to your email after a week, they might not like the emails that are being sent to you, and they might have that as evidence of poor performance, but they need to know what you said first. Or you might just be in a string, and the person at the beginning of the string is the person they're investigating.
Yeah, and at least in the States, this may not be true in second or third world countries, but in the States, if you're the innocent person and you have a good life and you are simply involved in a string, you should not assume that a prosecutor won't come and attempt to leverage your love of your good life to say, I expect you to say in court this happened and this happened, and essentially to have to turn on your friends. Because you have technically engaged in something which is inappropriate. You have, for a moment, lost sight of our company represents good, and I have done something that now that I realize it is illicit, and you're going to be put in the awkward situation of admitting that what you did was wrong, and to save your own skin, to have to inform on other people, which may in fact be the ethical thing to do, but you're not going to feel good about it. You know, you mentioned a Bond film. I caught the last, I never saw the end of the movie Skyfall. This is really dating us now. It's a 2013 movie. But one of the single best upgrades ever in the history of a long-standing movie or book franchise is the change in Q, the technology guy, that occurred in the latest Bond movie. I think it was Skyfall, with Daniel Craig as the new Bond guy for the last three or four movies. The previous Q guys were older, white-haired guys who were, you know, highly regarded engineers that clearly weren't field agents. And of course, they really nicely juxtapose it by right after you meet the new Q guy who has sort of wavy hair and is clearly a total genius computer techno geek nerd. Right after that, they show Bond getting into a Aston Martin, if I'm not mistaken, a DB5, which is quite showy. But, you know, it was a great upgrade that, yeah, the world is modern and espionage and virtually everything else is digital now, and your life is digital as well, like it or not. And what you do, your digital footprint represents you. And we recommend you never do anything illicit. We stand for professionalism and ethical, professional, good behavior. We stand on the right of good. And we also know that there are times when it's easy to slip because you're human and you're not God. And so therefore, we encourage you to be careful about this. And finally, the point you wanted to make was about personal email, which, gosh, I slipped on so many times. Yeah.
Assuming you have an iPhone, I assume that you can do this on other phones. Of course, you have your company email. So we would have wendy@manager-tools.com. And then you have your personal email. So I have a
Gmail address
that my friends and family know and that I use for other purposes. Now, both of those are on my iPhone, which belongs to Manager Tools. So when I'm dissing my bosses, It's a win now.
It's not an if. It's not a hypothetical futuristic if. It's an actual fact. When I'm dissing my bosses. Okay.
And I would say that when we're being recorded, wouldn't
yes.
I? Yes. But the point is, when or if I'm dissing my bosses, I'm sending that email on a device which you own and which Mike can look at every email I've ever sent.
Yep.
Without even knowing my password. And he can, you know, it's still visible, even though it's from my private address to my mother's address, for example.
Yep.
It's still visible. And it doesn't matter really what you're doing. I had a boss once who gave me his access to his company email, and he was having an affair and meeting, well, he was a sales guy and he was going all over the place and arranging to meet her. And it's, you know, it's just, it was like information I didn't need. But he clearly thought that it didn't matter that it was on email. And I did think it mattered.
Email is forever. There's a great Wall Street Journal story from a couple of years ago of one of the subpoenaed emails, I want to say, in the London Whale case that cost, I'm pretty sure, Citi billions of dollars, where somebody put in an email, in all caps, don't tell anyone about this. Yeah. 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 And it's digitally archived. I mean, look, if you walk through Silicon Valley, I'm in Silicon Valley right now recording this. If you walk through San Jose, Mineta Airport, there are ads in the airport for rack-mounted servers which say, we archive all your emails. They just sit there right next to the email server and archive everything. And when they get subpoenaed, you just hand them the thing and it's done. Right? There's no months of reviewing it. And there's sophisticated software analyzing it for illicit words and for unethical behaviors and trade secrets and espionage and so on.
The cost of storage space is nothing.
Right.
Now, it used to be that maybe they only kept a year's worth because the cost of storage space was so high. But now there's no reason not to keep everything. Mr. Bezos holds it all for you.
Yeah. So now, guys, anything you put in email, you might as well be prepared to shout on a street corner at 10 o'clock in the morning in a busy metropolitan area. London, Moscow, Geneva, Paris, New York City, Chicago, Shanghai, Sydney, Hong Kong, Tokyo, in the native language, because it can be translated. And that's just crazy.
And the other thing that you might forget is your Google searches or your browser searches. Oh, yeah. You're just all sitting there at lunch and you think, oh, I'll go to, I don't know, wherever you want to go to. But that's being tracked too. Even if you're at lunch, you don't have any reason.
Yep.
You know, there's no, I'm at lunch, it doesn't matter what I'm Googling. If you're at lunch and you're Googling something you shouldn't be, expect the HR lady to come around and tell you to leave the building.
Yep. At one point, I had two phones. Because my first phone, the phone number had gotten out of too many people and I was translating to another phone. I'm now back to one phone. I don't recommend it to anybody. And yet, listen to this cast, you might say, I think I'll keep my own personal cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wrap us up.
Okay. So don't act as if your email is private. It's not.
It's not.
Don't delete emails to hide things because it's a waste of energy. And don't add your personal email to company technology. That's not private.
Yeah, I think it's important. It's not only not private, it's glaringly public and historically archived. This is why spies don't use it. They talk. They talk yes. to one another. Yeah, and they have white noise generators too so that you can't overhear them. Guys, we're not trying to cause you to be paranoid. We know you're an ethical actor. You should know the company also has a reasonable expectation to protect its assets, and that overrides your expectation of privacy because of what the company does in terms of the magnification of your effort and because of legal safeguards. If you assume anything you say or do is private or is not private, if that helps you act differently, that'll keep you safe and it'll help you be an effective ethical actor for your organization. It's simple.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. A simple one, and maybe for many of you managers, something you'll share with your directs who may not understand email security. Come back next week.